Okay, the monks, the Tibetan monks, with different magical power. Mm. Okay, so anyhow, so you know already, huh, about the rain monks and the... huh? Rain monks and the oracle, huh? The oracle monks are supposed to be vegetarian, I'm just telling you, that's all, okay? Otherwise, most of other monks are non-vegetarian, except the day they shave their head, or their disciples shave their head to become monk. So I just drink tea. Even though it's very good for the cold climate, you know, like Himalaya, but it has a very strong, peculiar taste, and you have to be used to it. And then don't smell nothing anymore, just drink it. But you get used to it. It's quite tasty. It's just that you would probably never drink this kind of tea in your whole life if you don't meet Tibetan people. Because it's salty. It's not the ordinary tea that we drink, either plain or sugar, sweetened. This one is made with salt, so it's very salty. It's good for them. Because salt in such a region is like gold, you know that? So in Vietnam, when I was young, I know people used to trade, you know, some of the precious thing from the mountain people with salt. Because the mountain people, they need salt so much. Because it's so hot, so high there, and if they don't have salt, they dehydrate somehow, you know? So they need it a lot. So the plain people in the city used to bring them salt, but take silver and precious stone, and anything from them, they give. If you just make salt too valuable to them, that they have to beg you for it. Because the mountain folks are very innocent people, very pure. What else should I tell you? Oh, okay, I'm supposed to tell you about the initiation. Yeah. Got it. I got it, okay. Okay, because you'll be curious to know, huh? What is so precious about it? He only do that, if he does at all, once every 10 years. Yes, because it's such a big deal, such so much arrangement. They have to make a big tent to feed thousands of people. The Dalai Lama had to sit there for 10 days on a stretch, you know, with all the monks, and they have to dance also, you know, a very special mystical dance to invoke the spirits of the region and to make offering to the Buddha and to invoke all the protectors of the Dharma to come and protect them. So to keep the Maya away, so that the initiation will become successful. And all the, where the monk has to wave all his fan and, you know, walkie-talkie to talk to the rain god to stay away. Something like that. So many things they have to do. And the oracle monks have to stay day and night at their beck and call just to predict if anything happened. And also the Dalai Lama security and all that, you know. Wow, it's a lot, big arrangement. And he does that only once every 10 years. So a lot of people, you know, very lucky. They feel they can sit there and receive it. So every day before the initiation, the Dalai Lama recites a mantra and mudra and sutra and all that. And then the people will walk around this glass house where the Dalai Lama and the monk sit, you know, in circumambulation, they call it. Huh? Circumambulate. Yeah. A sign of respect. And sometimes they prostrate full length on the floor and make more dust. You know, and I had a lot of cough there going on with me, you know. And many men also cough, you know. And one time I put my mattress, you know, on the floor somewhere next to the house. They threw anything on the window. Sometimes they cook, you know, they peel some vegetable and throw it. When they do some vegetable and the rest left over, they throw it through the window and the cow passed by, we eat them. They walk everywhere free because nobody dare to eat them. They can feed them, they can worship them, but they cannot kill them. They will die naturally. People in India don't eat cow's meat. They believe it's holy. They revere the cows as a mother, so they don't ever kill cows. The Hindu people don't eat cow. Okay, during these 10 days before the initiation started, I was sitting next to the Dalai Lama and the monks outside. They make the glass door so that people can see them, but they are protected inside the glass, okay? And I sit in front of the glass, you know. around the glass house, there is a kind of stage, you know? Just like when you make a tent. Huh? Just like here, you make a stage like this, and they put a glass house in the middle of it. And people sit next to the glass house, on top of the stage. But only the Westerner, in one time, not all the time. And then there was one Tibetan nun who sit there sometime in the daytime. I just sit there and meditate. And I do that every day. And no other people around. They allow the Westerner to sit there only in some occasion. But I don't know that. I thought the Westerner don't like to sit there every day because it's hard. And they don't meditate anyhow. So I sat there and meditate. There's another Tibetan nun who sit there. Also, after I sit, she also came up and sit. So a few days like that. But the next day I came, I saw that the bodyguard of the Dalai Lama just asked the nun to sit down on the floor like everybody else. No, but they don't sit on the floor. Actually, they walk around on the floor. That's why I can't sit on the floor down there. So when I saw she's coming down, I also, you know, come down. No? But then the Dalai Lama instructed his guard to ask me to come up. Yeah, invited me. So I was the only one who sit there during all this time. Yeah. And he liked me, I think. Yeah, sit next to him. Just separate by the glass door. Huh? Yeah, he instructed the bodyguard, so the bodyguard had to invite me up again. And I was very surprised. But I was in monk's robe. At that time I was in a Hindu monk's robe. Hindu's monk's robe is different from Tibetan. Hindu's monk's robe is either in saffron color, like yellow, huh? Like that, or in pink color, or in red color, or in white. When you see it, you know it's right away, you know, it's very special. But I just make a robe for myself from, you know, neck to toe, you cover, just slip like that, yeah. And I sit there every day, and nobody dare to turn me out anymore until the time is up and over. Then everybody gone home. I was very privilegedly treated, I must say, you know. Like, give me a big tent in the Kumbh Mela alone, where all the monks have to sleep together, squeezing in another tent. Or like, let me sit next to the Dalai Lama all this time when nobody else sit, thing like that. I didn't ask for it. I thought nobody want to sit. I sit there because I meditate, you know. Where else do I sit? Except next to the monks and the holy people and support them, you know. Support mentally, huh? Like we're doing it together. Yeah, you're doing great, you know, thing like that. And the initiation is about the explaining how to meditate, you know, and the meaning of the initiation and the symbol that you have to remember during your contemplation. They will give you like a moon, silver disc with an Om word or some Indian word on it. You have to remember it, memorize it in your head, and then you have to visualize it when you meditate. Apart from that, there is another fresco, a poster, that you have to meditate upon, every detail. Now you know. And then you went home after the initiation, you try to remember all the detail, the silver disc and the word and all that, on top of your head, and you imagine another Buddha on your head. And you have to recite special prayers. They call Guru Puja, the offering to the Guru, the praise to the Guru. It goes something like, oh Master, you are the most compassionate, you are the most wise, you are the most omnipotent, thing like that. You would rescue my soul from the depth of my ignorance, bring me from the darkness to light, nourish my soul with all the wisdom and love, and things like that. Such a beautiful poetry. Even if you don't have to believe in Tibetan, or you don't have to believe in Buddhism, or any kind of guru, it's a very beautiful essay to read to yourself. It's very nice. Yeah. It's longer than that. It's longer than that. And you should do this Guru Puja every morning. Or any evening, and then you do your meditation. It's a lot more, you know. So you see, it depends on where you are and what you believe in, that you would judge a spiritual meaning or another, you see. You have to know you just have to be open. Huh? You just have to be natural, spontaneous, in order to learn all these things without judgmental. No? I suppose people would think, oh, what kind of religion? Or any, I don't know if they do like that. But I never thought like that. I was just too eager to learn about spiritual practice that I thought, maybe, why not? You know? I try hard in case it is true. But it didn't help so much, so I said, forget it. Guan Yin method, best. Okay, huh? If I remember anything else, I'll tell you another time. Okay? It's okay, it's okay. Don't worry. I will fly over. It's late now. No, I don't need it. Thank you. It's late. Everybody go home. Okay? Alright, bye. I promise you to come a few more days and I cannot keep. So, okay, it's up to you. If you want to come, you come. But if you don't want to come, you don't come, okay? I cannot promise I come or I don't come. If I come, you know I come. If I don't come, you know I don't come. All right? Because I think enough, huh, for a while, okay? Okay, you're very welcome. Bye-bye. Have a good time at home and everywhere else every day. Okay? God bless.
Wonderful viewers, thank you for your company for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, up next, right after Noteworthy News. May your heart rejoice in the infinite glory of God's benediction.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.